Oh, baby, how do
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Good morning. Glad you're with me. Dr. Eve James will be with us, a local dentist, talking about her practice. Dr. Carol Probstfield will be with us, too, talking about higher education in Florida. And Miriam Dady is in the business spotlight with a guest. Tiffany Baker will be here talking about the historical capital. So stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done.
Truck and car concepts. We're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and car concepts. With their cars, we're number one by far.
Hi, I'm Joe Doty. Come truck it up with me this week, and I'll save you money. Get your deluxe detail package, complete window tinting, and heavy-duty floor mats starting at $339.95.
Truck and car concepts. We're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and car concepts. Their cars, we're number one by far.
You'll save big bucks on the package, and I'll even throw in a great pair of free sunglasses. Come on, truck it up with us this weekend, and bring your cars too. You're gonna love it.
Truck and car concepts. We're your one-stop shop. We always aim to please. Truck and car concepts. Everything is here from A to Z.
Call 656-8800. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Here we are again on a beautiful Saturday in Tallahassee, bringing to you this humble little radio show, my friend, and it is my pleasure to do so, that purports to offer you those items of interest and the very cool people doing very cool things around our fair city on a weekly basis. And in doing so, we are, of course, aware of the fact that the very initial signs of spring are upon us, the yellow pollen that accumulates on our cars from the oak trees and the pine trees, and legislative consultants, the lobbyists and the legislators, those people who make their way to Tallahassee this time of year for the annual Congress, the gathering of people who have needs for money or have needs for representation and have a point they're trying to deliver to the men and women who help to guide this fair state of ours, including Tallahassee and those parts of our community around us that represent the MSA, the Metropolitan Statistical Area, known as Tallahassee. And, of course, that includes Gadsden and Wakulla and Jefferson County, or counties, and Leon County. And with that in mind, we have a great lineup today of those folks who are about that business, who have brought to us stories of their their ventures, their travels thus far, and we're pleased to have them. We've got Tiffany Baker, who's going to be with us here shortly, and she is the coordinator of the Historical Capital Building and organization, really, that does so many things that I certainly didn't know about, and perhaps you didn't know, goes on throughout the year. I kind of figured it was a neat building, you know, it's our historic Capitol building. But did you know that they're engaged in all kinds of activities having to do with Florida's history, including this upcoming event? We're going to talk with her about that. Tiffany Baker, she's the coordinator there. And the event will be part of their acknowledgement, their celebration of 125 years of Florida public health. Aha. So you see, there we go. And another fine representative of the work being done on behalf of Floridians here and about, Carol Probstfield. Dr. Carol Probstfield will be with us talking about the Council of Presidents of the Florida College System, and she herself is president of the State College of Florida. So we're going to talk with Carol about what's going on with state colleges, higher education, education at large, those needs and interests of college students, their families, employers, the shifts in education, educational modalities, technologies, funding. And of course, that's a big part of the reason she's here at this springtime festival we call the legislative session. Because yes, they're looking for some funding, and they just want to remind a few people that things don't happen magically, that they do require funding. But she'll talk with us at length about that. And we have coming up then in the second hour a conversation with a dear friend and someone who is a good friend to many. Dr. Eve James will join us. She is a dentist who practices dentistry there in Quincy, Florida, has for many years. Also happens to be practicing dentistry at the women's correctional facility there in Gadsden County, Chattahoochee. And her life's work is about bringing dental health, restoration, education to her patients in both settings. And what a marvelous individual she is, if you'll allow me to gush a bit here. And on the heels of me telling you that, she's one of the sponsors of our annual Tallahassee Food Challenge, which has now come upon us. We are in earnest. We want to make sure that all of us are reminded to give frequently, to give as generously as we can to those food assistance charities in our community that ultimately rely on us. Yes, they do get some funding. Some of them do. Some of them don't, from outside sources. But most of that contribution comes from you and I. Why is that so important right now? Well, it happens historically, and for some various reasons. Demand is up during the spring, and we forget, so supplies tend to go down. And the recent unfortunate circumstances facing America's second harvest of the Big Bend has put a real serious problem out there for that organization and ultimately for all of us, because you know what? That organization, America's Second Harvest, is a sort of watershed. A lot of these other smaller charitable groups, ECHO and Catholic Charities, the Tallahassee Food Pantry, not to mention, golly, probably a couple of dozen churches that have food pantries, they all receive help from America's Second Harvest. So it's a kind of trickle-down situation there, too. Man, we've talked with those in charge at all of these various groups, these food assistance charities, and they've all told us, man, this is a tough time of year for us, and especially now. So what are we doing? So the Tallahassee Food Challenge says, take the challenge, fill the truck, and feed the hungry. So we're going to have our Tallahassee Food Challenge truck at various locations throughout Tallahassee and the surrounding county of Leon. And who knows, we might even show up in Gadsden or Jefferson County or Wakulla County. Wherever we can, we want to be available to you in a convenient way. So as you're doing your grocery shopping, you come out and we're there in the parking lot, right? And then, gosh, to make it easier on you, we're going to say, here's the truck. What can you do? A couple of cans of beans maybe, or a grocery bag full, whatever. We prefer the non-perishable food items because that just makes it easier in terms of storage and distribution. But our pledge is that we can make a difference. And if you'll help us and give what you can, we'll make sure the food gets delivered to each one of these charities in question. And we'll continue to do this all through the months of March, April, May, and into early June probably. But we need your help. And Tallahassee Talks has taken this on as our pet project for this springtime of the year. So keep us in mind. You can find us at TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com. We've got a website there, and we're doing some more to build that and change it around a little bit, make it easier. But you'll find those locations then around the county where we're going to have our Tallahassee Food Challenge truck. So take the challenge, fill the truck, feed the hungry. That's what we're doing. And as I mentioned, Dr. Eve James, representing Southern Smiles Family Dentistry, one of our proud sponsors of this year's Food Challenge, along with Widen Glass, you know that name pretty well because they're around here all the time, and Truck and Car Concepts, we love those guys, the Tallahassee Family Magazine's brand new publication, you're going to love it. Stay with me, folks. I've got a lot of show up ahead, and we'll be looking to have you back right after this. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Changing the face of talk radio in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Time now for this week's Business Spotlight with Miriam Dady, brought to you by Send Out Cards.
Hello there, Tallahassee, Florida, and all of you listeners spread out across 93.3. It's Miriam Dady here, and I am bringing you Tallahassee Spotlight this morning. I've got a friend in the studio here with me, Alan McGinnis of McGinnis Himmel Insurance Agency. It's brand new on the scene here in Tallahassee, and Alan has agreed to come talk to us about it. What is it about McGinnis Himmel that's special, Alan? Why are you guys beginning a new insurance agency?
Well, thank you for having us, Miriam. Really, McGinnis Himmel Insurance, what makes us different is we're an independent insurance agency, and we focus on and specialize in insurance for individuals and families. What that really means is we're independent, and so we work with a bunch of different companies so we can match somebody's situation to the company that provides the best value, the most coverage for the best rate. And because our focus is personal insurance, we have specific processes in place that allow us to make certain the coverages are right and they're appropriate.
That sounds good. I mean, that basically, if you're focusing on individuals and families and the stuff that they own, you're going to know more about it than somebody like Geico, somebody like Progressive, right?
That's right. If you're taking care of their home insurance and their car insurance and their life insurance and their boat, you can really get a good picture of what's going on in their world and what their potential exposures and risks would be and how to make sure those policies play nice together and cover the right things. And you don't want to have duplicate coverage somewhere. There's no reason to pay for an exposure you don't have. We want to make sure they all work together correctly.
I hear you. Tell me about how you guys got started.
The McGinnis Himmel Insurance Agency started in January of 2015, but the idea for it really goes back to about 2008. Michael Himmel and I were both working at a State Farm office and both had aspirations for being an agent. And we realized in 2009 when things shifted in the market and home companies were pulling out, we realized there really was a big difference between being a captive agent and being an independent. As a captive, you're much more of a salesperson. As an independent, you can really be an agent, really an advisor to somebody. So in 2009, we approached the Inverness office of Van Allen Insurance and opened the Tallahassee branch in June of 2009. And the Tallahassee branch consisted of myself, Michael Himmel, two computers, a couple of hand-me-down desks, and zero clients. And 5.5 years later, now we have enough people to stand on our own, and we've done that basically by doing a great job every time we answer the phone, taking care of people, and they've been telling their friends, and we're very grateful.
Well, I know that's true. I've experienced that kind of personal attention myself. Why independent? Now, you used the word captive, agent, and independent. Explain the difference there.
So a captive agent has one company that they sell for, or one company they primarily use, which there's an advantage because they know that company very well and have a good relationship. The disadvantage is they've really only got one option. So if you go to them and your situation doesn't quite fit what they've got, that's still the option they have to sell you. As an independent, we can sort of talk to you about your situation, assess what's going on, and really assess what you need, and then find the company and the coverages that match that situation. Again, that way you're paying for the coverages you want, but not the stuff you don't need, and it means you don't accidentally end up without coverage somewhere you might have needed it.
I like it. So you get to do all the homework. I don't have to do it. You find me the best deal.
That's right.
And I just deal with you.
We just have a process where we have a specific process to ask the right questions so we can figure out what your needs are and then, again, match you to the right carrier for it, right company.
Neat. So you got started in January. Give me kind of a big picture. What are your goals?
So we started the agency really with the idea of we would like to have an agency full of caring insurance agents and experts. Our goal was to be the place people turn when they want to make sure their assets are protected, their risks are assessed, and they're taken care of. Our motto basically reflects that. Price is important. Coverage is what pays. You know, price is a big deal. It's got to be affordable. You can't be insurance poor. We also recognize that coverage is what pays, and that's what matters. If you've got a kitchen fire and you're trying to figure out where to live that night, or you've got a mangled car and trying to see if you've got coverage, or a tree through your roof, or medical bills, coverage is what's going to take care of you at that point. The $5 savings will be the furthest thing from your mind.
Exactly. That's a good point. I mean, I know people want to, we sort of all feel like, especially with car insurance, we've got this gun to our head. We have to have it. You get pummeled with the insurance commercials. How cheap can you get insurance? But really, none of that matters when you've had an accident. You need your, car fixed.
So. That's right. If you need to be taken care of, you need to be taken care of. And the reality is, oftentimes we have the best rate. And if it's not the best rate, it's pretty doggone close.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so insurance is important. You're brand new in the market here in Tallahassee. How do listeners who are listening today, how do they feel any kind of confidence looking at a brand new insurance agency and have a feeling that they're going to get those accidents, those kind of claims paid in a timely way when you guys have just arrived on the scene?
Sure. We get that question all the time. I mean, it's really important to have a company that's going to be able to pay your claim if something bad happens.
Right.
Well, and we get that question a lot. So our agency is not the company that would pay a claim if something happens. The insurance company that we put you with is the company that would pay it. So for example, Auto Owners Insurance, one of the companies we work with, they're the ones who write the policies, handle the claims, and actually have the checkbook. They're the ones who would pay what's going on. We as the agency are really their distribution channel.
Here's my last question. It's probably the most important one. How would listeners get in touch with you? What are the ways that they can find this brand new agency?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, you could always call us and you'll get somebody live on the phone as often as we absolutely can. Our phone number, you can go to our website, insurancemh.com. So insurance, M like Michael, H like Himmel.com. Just a coincidence. You can give us a call. You can send us an email. We'd love to talk to you.
Tell me what that phone number is.
It's 850-329-6996.
So if someone, let's say they're not ready to pull out their checkbook, but they just want to feel you out, they just want to talk to you about their particular situation, they can give you a call.
Absolutely. We'd love to help out anytime we can. Even if it's just a question about an existing policy, even if we can't help write you from where you are to somebody we've got, we'll be glad to take a few minutes and talk with you about your situation and ask you about a couple of things you might have going on and then try to point you in the right direction. And more often than not, that helps us write the business, so we're happy to do it.
And it's insurancemh.com.
Correct.
Well, folks, I encourage you to kind of explore your possibilities. I know you've all got insurance, but you don't know what you have until you need it. And this would be a good way for you to explore it. Alan, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Mary.
Have you heard about TallyConnection.com? These are the folks who bring us all of the events and activities going on around town. It's a great little spot.
tallyconnection.com. Go to that particular blog. You can find out everything you want to know about fundraisers and kids' activities and festivals and concerts. It's all there, brought to you by FSU Credit Union. And they make it possible for us to bring you Tallahassee Talks every week. So we like the fact that we're working together. We even have a link to their tallyconnection.com site on our website under community. So there's a good way to find them. Tallyconnection.com. Visit this week. Find out more about what you love about this town. Events and activities, all to make your life a little bit better.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We are here on a beautiful Saturday talking with a very beautiful person, if I might say, who for many years has been practicing the science and the art, work that she does as a dentist here in North Florida, her practice there in Quincy, Florida. And let's welcome to Tallahassee Talks the effervescent, I like saying that, that's a good word, effervescent, Dr. Eve James. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you, Brian.
How about that for an introduction?
I've never had an introduction
like that. I paid $5 for those words.
Wow.
Good stuff. So Dr. James and I go back several years in our professional relationship. I can tell you firsthand that I'm a victim of my own dental complacency, as it's been described. And consequently, I found myself in need of the very able Dr. James, who expertly righted this otherwise off-course ship in my dental world and got me back into better health. I'm sure there's more to be done, is there not?
You're a work in progress, Brian.
On so many levels, yes. A work in progress, no doubt. Dr. James, for those of you who have not had the pleasure, is such a joy in many respects. In a lot of the different ways that she is a part of this community, and I would say the broader, in the broader sense, the Gadsden County, Leon County area. How long have you been in practice? It seems like forever, but you've had your practice
14 years.
14 years mm-hmm. there in Quincy, and you're like right downtown in the heart of
right in the.
You're not like the, what, two blocks from the courthouse kind of thing,
right? In the historical district,
it's a beautiful
nice
area. I love your dental practice.
Thank you.
Is it proper to call it a clinic? I guess, or your dental offices?
It's a private.
Because you have your own lab mm-hmm. there too, don't you?
We used to, but now I send my lab out.
Okay.
But we do a little bit of lab work right on the premise.
Right, yeah. Because I know when I come in at times and I'll see all kinds of neat gizmos and stuff
right.
that you're doing. And I don't
pouring
know what
out
all
models
is, but,
and
yeah.
making, we make our own night guards and whitening trays, things
yeah.
like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about that. You have a couple of different areas of practice that serve us, of course, that most of us think of when we think of a dentist, you know, the hygienics, right? And
yes.
I know you have a hygienist with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so
wonderful, Paula.
Paula,
mm-hmm.
Trying to keep us away from the complacent side of things and keep us flossing properly, right? And clean
yes,
and all that.
She is very seasoned, experienced, and she dresses specifically periodontal disease and is very into patient education to teach.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Well, because I think, in fact, that's one of the characteristics of your practice. I've noticed that you're really devoted to education.
Yes.
It's not enough to say, okay, we can fix this, but you really care about what I'm doing in the interim, huh?
That's right. And the more you are aware of why you're doing what you're doing, you'll be more apt to continue to do it for your for your health.
The why is the word. Yeah. We talk a lot about that around here, why we do what we do. So in that regard, there's lots of, we'd say, adjunct or maybe associated health issues when we talk about dental health. And you've brought that to my attention, even things like cardio health, right?
It affects every aspect of your body, the bacteria in the oral cavity. Actually, the oral cavity is very vascular. Those bacteria and their toxins go into the blood system, and they travel through every organ. And people with periodontal disease have a 10% increase in hypertension, diabetes, kidney issues, and they're even finding that there's a correlation between arthritis and periodontal disease.
Wow.
So it definitely has overwhelming systemic effects.
And by the word periodontal, we're talking about your gums, right?
Gums.
And because that's really where the health amounts.
The gums and the bony supportive structures.
Yep. Yep.
It's like the foundation of your house. Your teeth are only as healthy as the bone and soft tissues that hold them in place.
So it's occurred to me that it's, and then you're not the first dentist who has said this to me about that connection, right? So that if you really will pay attention to your dental health, man, you can do a whole lot for yourself everywhere else. What I don't hear oftentimes is that same message coming from the broader medical community, where, you know, my general practitioner, my family physician, isn't asking me, hey, when was the last time you had a dental checkup? They don't ask those questions.
But that is changing.
Is it changing?
Okay. Just last year we had a meeting with the Medical Dental Society together, talking on the systemic ramifications of oral pathology.
I mean, so how many guys like me in their 50s and 60s and are struggling with hypertension, high blood pressure?
Yes.
And the doctors say, well, when was the last time you had somebody look in your mouth? I mean, that's a very good question.
Yeah.
And gosh, you know, we're trying to get you to lose weight here and we've got you on these medications, but have we even looked at what's going on for your dental picture, huh?
Right. It's definitely part of the cause.
Where did this all get started for you? When did you decide you wanted to be a dentist?
I was actually my medical career, patient care career started in nursing. I was an RN. And actually had one dentist that was very much my mentor, and I just loved going to his office, and he had such a warm environment and very caring person, and I was quite envious of his whole work situation, and he actually motivated me, inspired me to to consider dentistry, and it was right then I started taking continuing courses at night after leaving my nursing job and start taking the prerequisites for dental school.
And where were you nursing at that time?
In Michigan. In Michigan. I was in psychiatric nursing for 10 years before I went to dental school.
Brian Moran is working with Hopewell, and they are a nursing at-home nursing care organization, and he spent a number of years in psychiatric nursing. That is not we would consider light duty, is it? That's when you're a psychiatric nurse, describe that for us.
It's just very,
very intense.
It's very intense. It's very rewarding. You have to have a particular passion about your patients and understanding, be a good listener.
That has carried forward, I think, with you, because I have found that in your manner with your patients now, that especially a crazy person like me, that you can actually sit and listen and somewhere inside of you find compassion, for which I'm grateful. I want to tell you right now, I'm in need of that on a daily basis.
With your white knuckle syndrome, Brian.
I'm gripping the chair.
Talk you through that.
Yes, help me, dear Lord. Well, and so with this gem over there in Quincy, by the way, folks, if I haven't said this, the name of the dental practice is Southern Smiles, which again is charming. Southern Smiles Family Dentistry. And I have the pleasure of saying that I've been able to do a little bit to try to help Dr. James get that message out there. But the message resonates with a lot of folks who I talk to have said, you know, we like the fact
that Dr. James approaches us one at a time. And there's that manner of being compassionate, but being forward-thinking, that it's not just enough to hold my hand. You're really trying to get me from my current state into a better state, and doing that at in a number of different ways. One of those ways that I think of has to do with the technology that you've put to work in your practice, especially, I think it's a digital X-ray machine. Yeah. Is that correct?
Digital Panorex, digital X-ray.
Tell us about that.
With a digital X-ray and digital Panorex, you get an immediate image on your computer screen so that you do not have to wait for the results of the X-ray. And also, this X-ray image can be transported through the internet to any other doctor that I perhaps have a question or request a consultation with. They can see it right then. A little side benefit of that is that we have no chemical processing in our office at all, which I'm very proud to say that we really try to maintain a very environmentally friendly office.
You're green, eh?
Well,
folks, we're learning a lot here about this young lady and her passion for caring for her patients. Under the auspices of Southern Smiles Family Dentistry, Dr. Eve James, our guest this morning. Stay with me. We'll be back with more Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're back and we're talking with Dr. Eve James, a dentist who for now 14 years has had her practice there in Quincy. And she at the same time has been practicing dentistry among the inmates at the Chattahoochee
Gadsden Correctional Facility.
And this is a women's facility.
Yes.
How did that all get started? You've been there for a while as well.
I was working at Florida State Hospital for over 14 years, which was really quite interesting since I was in psychiatric nursing to bridge that juncture and go to psychiatric dentistry was much more comfortable for me because of that. But then I moved on to Gadsden Correctional when I moved from Chattahoochee to Quincy and have practiced there for over 14 years now.
My goodness.
We have a 1,545-bed facility.
So you do your job there all day long and then travel back over to your practice in downtown Quincy and work there until the wee hours, just doing. So this is not a job, is it?
Dentistry is very much a passion for me, and I'm very blessed to have a career that I love doing. Be able to help people, educate people, make a difference in people's lives, get them out of pain, improve their smile. It's extremely rewarding.
For you, with all of those years, you look at the advances. You mentioned the Panorex, I think it's called. The X-ray technology is available. You also have something called a mercury capturing thing. What is that?
Well, we just, like I said, we really do try to be extremely helpful with the environment. And anytime, you know, mercury fillings are a restoration that has been used before, sometimes used now, but when you remove old restorations, the mercury and other components in the amalgam actually will be suctioned out and go out into the water. So we were the first practice actually in the Tallahassee area to get a mercury recapturing system so that any of the mercury does not go out into the environment. It's recaptured back in this machine.
I see.
So it remains inert in there.
So it doesn't go back into the groundwater and then create a pollutant.
Pollutant,
yeah. A toxic sort of thing. Yeah, mercury is not a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
for us to be ingesting in any fashion. So with that, it seems to me you've demonstrated not only a compassion for your own patients and your personal passion for this practice, but then you have that sort of broader sense of responsibility to the community and to our environment. You're the real deal.
I appreciate that.
I mean, this is the folks, you know that that this is what we like to do here. We find very cool people doing very cool things. And in doing that, we have come across this able soul who I understand you have a stage performing background as well, music and guitar and such, and dance. I mean, and tell me your favorite radio station in Tallahassee. What do you listen to most often?
I listen to 107.
Yeah. Okay, folks, I'm going to leave that up to you. You can go check that out. But you just don't let a whole lot of moss grow under your feet, it seems to me. Yeah.
Life is good.
Yeah. That's good to hear because, you know, some of us, I think, struggle with thinking whether it's worth it or not. And you seem to just keep charging forward.
Every day's a gift.
When you think of that, what are those things that you get back? Or do you ever look at that? How is it that you get something out of this?
Oh, it's so rewarding, so much more than any monetary reward to be able to formulate relationships with our patients who we embrace as our family. It's wonderful. We have a good time in our office. We listen to music. We get people out of pain, but we do it in a way where we try to minimize any dental anxiety. That's probably my number one goal, is to make the dental experience very positive, rewarding, and decrease, if not eliminate, dental anxiety. So we've decorated, as you know, our office in a very warm, inviting tone so that perhaps it's a little more comfortable.
It really is. Folks, I've been there, and you should go and check it out. One of the, I guess it would be called an examination room.
Our operatories.
Operatory, yeah. So it's all been colored in these beautiful mural presentations of aquatic creatures. So you've got dolphins and this gorgeous sea turtle, and you feel as though you're under the sea. You're sitting there and looking at all
the
these
of the
delightful things around you. It does have an effect. It's really remarkable. So I should also say, it seems to me that you have been a forward thinker when it comes to how your business is connected to the social environment, okay? So in addition to your concerns about the natural environment, the physical world, you've been a part of several of these promotions in which we're trying to help kids at Christmas time. I know you've been part of Help Christmas Connection several times. You've been part of our food challenge effort. And again, this year we have Southern Smiles right there saying, hey, we want to help feed hungry families.
It's our pleasure.
Yeah. So what is the most discouraging part for you when you look at a patient, or what would be maybe in a broader way, things that we should be doing that you wish we were doing more often? Now, if you say brushing and flossing, yeah, right, I get that. But even the food choices, I mean, are we a lot of physicians in various practices, dental health, physical health, talk about sugar consumption. Is that is that as much a concern as it for you than as a dentist?
It is from the dental standpoint. Of course, more refined sugars, you have a lot more incidence of decay and caries. But what's for me as a person, you know, our body is our temple, and how good we treat it is, it's going to give back to us exactly what we put in, and we have to respect ourselves enough to care enough about our body to take good care of it. It's a gift.
That is a good way for us to conclude here, and I think that when I imagine the next number of years with you practicing dentistry, I can imagine that there will be a lot of folks who will be lined up at your door saying, Dr. James, can you help us too? I hope that we can have you forever
in that capacity.
It's certainly a pleasure to know that you're over there. Folks, the practice is Southern Smiles Family Dentistry, one of the sponsors, by the way, of this year's Tallahassee Food Challenge, and a good friend of this show, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, our dear friend, Dr. Eve James. Thanks for being here with us.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure.
We're heading to the top of the hour, folks. We've got ABC News on up ahead, and we'll be back with more after that. So stay with me.
Have you heard about TallyConnection.com? These are the folks who bring us all of the events and activities going on around town. It's a great little spot. TallyConnection.com. Go to that particular blog. You can find out everything you want to know about fundraisers and kids' activities and festivals and concerts. It's all there, brought to you by FSU Credit Union. And they make it possible for us to bring you Tallahassee Talks every week. So we like the fact that we're working together. We even have a link to their TallyConnection.com site on our website under Community. So there's a good way to find them. TallyConnection.com. Visit this week. Find out more about what you love about this town. Events and activities, all to make your life a little bit better.
The most talked about topics in town. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back. The second hour of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Coming to you from the fair studios of Alcom Marketing and Advertising. And being brought to you courtesy of the very good folks at Freedom 93, our home station in Tallahassee, 93.3 FM. If you're listening thereby, we're glad you are here. And if you're listening online, good for you, too. We're streaming live to the web across the globe. Those of you in Germany who email me on a regular basis, thank you for your listenership. And parts unknown, Seattle and Pittsburgh, all around the world, it seems, people have ties to this fair city, this community, Tallahassee, Florida. Went to school here. Maybe they have a student here or lived here and worked at one time. Maybe they were born and reared here. But in any case, they take a keen interest, as you and I do, in things going on around town. And my goodness, this time of year especially, yes, we've decided that legislators, lobbyists, and pollen are the best indications that spring has sprung, along with the daylight saving time that just, I don't know, wreaks havoc regardless. So here we are, and we have with us in this second hour, Carol Probstfield. Probstfield is the, Dr. Carol Probstfield, I should say, properly, is the president of the State College of Florida, and she is also representing the Council of Presidents of the Florida College System, which, as a body of folks, is representing the constituents, we'll say, the students and the families of those students, and ultimately all of us in those public school institutions that of higher education, higher learning, principally two-year degree programs. She is an interesting individual, has an interesting take on the shifts and changes in education at large. And so we look forward to having a conversation with her in this hour. We have a conversation coming up with Tiffany Baker, and she is the coordinator of the historic capital, historical capital. That's what it's the building with the red and white awnings on it. Okay. And in fact, you're going to find out a whole lot about this organization that was, initiated, chartered by the state legislature as a way of helping to present and report and preserve Florida's history. So Tiffany Baker will bring us news of an upcoming event, which happens this coming Thursday evening. And they're hosting Dr. John Aguinobi, as he talks about his term of office when he was serving as Florida's
Secretary of Health, now referred to as the Surgeon General of Florida. Well, that's kind of what's going on here. Now, going on around about us, all kinds of things happening in the news. And by the way, on that topic, did you catch hold of this survey that was commissioned by Erica Kinsman's legal team this month? And that's the individual who has accused Mr. Winston of some wrongdoing. But they found that 2/3 of the polled voters in the Tallahassee area just don't think that Jameis Winston was guilty of sexual assault back in 2012. And even more, say that she's suing Florida State strictly for the money. That's pretty much the sentiment that they've gathered from their survey research. Huh. And this is results of a telephone poll that was conducted March 5th through the 8th. Among voters in Leon and 7 surrounding counties that were disclosed as evidence to bolster arguments by Kinsman's attorneys that her Title IX case against FSU not be moved from Orlando to Tallahassee as the university wishes. So they're pointing to this results of this survey research and saying, yeah, you see, people have already made up their minds, so we're not going to get a fair shake if we go from Orlando up here to our town. Interesting to see how that plays out. We just need more, don't we? We need to hear more about Jameis Winston and Florida State football trying to get all this resolved. Just about the time you think it's done, it's not. So it just seems to continue forward. Other issues at hand having to do with some community, let's say public services, particularly fire service, in which it's been proposed by a consultant in a preliminary report. This is the Tallahassee Democrat, Byron Dobson, reporting this, that several county commissioners, Leon County commissioners, expressed their concerns about the idea of raising rates for residential and commercial fire service. And that not only did they question the need to increase these fees, but said that, and I'm quoting here, the long-standing process of assessing fees for fire services to city and county residents must be reviewed in the long term. Leon County needs more say in how fire services and expenses are determined, so they said, that being the body of commissioners who have concern about this. They're going to discuss that further. But, you know, for those folks that don't have friends who work for the Tallahassee Fire Department, as I do, I can tell you that it seems to me an increase might be warranted given the humble means by which they make a living and the risk that they take upon themselves. Man alive, it's my observation that among all of those public servants, firefighters, police officers, and teachers ought to be at the top of the list. And that's just, I mean, because that's kind of, I don't know, logical to me. Why not invest most heavily in your future as a society, as a culture, as a labor force, with making sure that educators are given every opportunity? And while you're doing that, let's protect and preserve what we do have. I don't know. That's my take on that particular topic. Now, I will say that, as promised, we'll have this conversation with Dr. Probstfeld, who will talk about those interests regarding higher education. And in doing that, we'll get an inside look at how she is performing her role as president of the State College of Florida. So all of that is up ahead, and we are looking forward to the rest of this coming week with more fun and excitement going on. If you haven't tuned into this, Tally Connection is a great place to go, as is the newly released Tallahassee Family Magazine. The latest issue is on the newsstands. Some great opportunities in there for you. You'll find them at all the public stores around town. Or you can sign up for a subscription. You can go online to Tallahassee Family Magazine. And that means that you are going to be kept abreast of the stuff that really matters most to families, especially working moms, fun stuff to do with your kids, lots of free stuff that you can do. Those restaurants that offer kids eat free nights, that's a helpful calendar or listing of activity there. And you can always come to our website, too. TallahasseeTalks.com is available. On our calendar, we try to keep up to date as well, so you stay informed. That's what we're about here. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with me. We've got more.
Folks, there are four ways to shine in life, and Mary Maids has it all going on. Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. And that's why we rely on Mary Maids right here at our studios. They are proficient, and they are reliable. And I want to tell you, when I come into the office and I find the studio fresh and clean, it's a great feeling. And the neat thing about it is they get into all the details that I probably would overlook. But I want to tell you something else. As a new customer, when you sign up for their 24 weekly or biweekly cleanings, on your first cleaning, you're going to save up to $400 because they'll spend that first cleaning doing the extra deep cleaning that you probably would do if you wanted to do it yourself, but you don't have to. You can call Mary Maids. It's the best thing to do. And let me tell you something. Here's another special offer. You're going to save yourself 10% on that first call just by mentioning Tallahassee Talks when you call. Would you do that for me? Call Mary Maids this week. Here's the number, 386-2205, and tell them, I heard your ad on Tallahassee Talks, and I'm ready to receive 10% discount on my service. They'll do it for you. They're right here in Tallahassee. You can go online at marymaids.com.
The best place for conversation, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're talking with Tiffany Baker. She is the coordinator of the Historic Capital here in Tallahassee, and we've asked her to join us on this occasion because they have something very special in connection with the celebration of 125 years of the Florida Public Health, I guess, Florida Public Health Administration or something of that sort. Anyway, Let's welcome Tiffany Baker. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
I am so glad that you're here, considering the fact that you've had so much going on of late, and as the coordinator, now you've been with the historic capital for a number of years and now have assumed the helm, taken the charge of being the coordinator. What does that entail for you?
Well, yes, that it happened in October. I was appointed interim coordinator, and I'm appointed actually by the speaker and the president. So That's a really sort of unusual setup.
The speaker and the president of
the Florida legislature.
Legislature.
We are managed by the Florida legislature. So we're different than all the rest of the state museums that are all under the Department of State. So
there must have been some serious vetting going on for you to have received this appointment. Well, congratulations.
Well, thank you.
I think that's in order.
Yes, it's very exciting, and I was very honored by their confidence in my ability to
do it. How do you spend your days?
Well, as coordinator, I do a little bit of everything. We're kind of a small staff. We serve about 75,000 visitors a year. You know, we're really in the backyard of session in the legislature, so tons of school groups, constituents, just lots of people coming through the building. So I do everything from fundraising to assisting with exhibit curation to protecting the building through enforcement of the interior standards So all kinds of different things, and I manage the staff and our budget. So,
did you come to the position even at your first arrival there from that background where you were involved in curation and such?
Yes, I have my bachelor's in history and my master's in public history and historical administration.
So this is in your wheelhouse.
Yes,
we'd say.
But I do a lot of programming, and when you go through history, graduate school and undergrad, you write a lot and you do a lot of work like exhibits, but you're not prepared, I don't think, for some of the administrative duties. A lot of, I thought I was going to be Indiana Jones, and then you end up doing a lot of paperwork, but it's very important work, and I'm happy to be able to do it.
I have
a wonderful staff.
And you have this rather notable event coming up that will be a week, a week from this coming Thursday.
Yes.
So that's going to be the 19th from 5:30 to 7:30. And you've titled this An Evening with Dr. John Agwunobi, who served the state of Florida as the director of health, mm-hmm. right? What was his official title,
He was the secretary of health and the state health officer. But now that position is called surgeon general.
For Florida. And in that time, this was coming to me by way of our staff. He walked us through some rather significant health challenges, hurricanes and anthrax attacks and, infant mortality and all kinds of things happening.
You know, in addition to all of the normal activities of the Surgeon General, which is to really protect the public health of the citizens of Florida, he had to deal with all of these special a lot of juggling that he did.
So what is his mission to in this particular event? What is his message to us, do you think?
Well, I think that he is going to really talk about the importance of public health and continuing some of the, you know, the standards and the influence that was put into place over the last 125 years. I mean, it's really public health affects us every single day, and it ties in so well with our mission of political history, because not only did the legislature create the State Board of Health, it's an ongoing facet of government that affects us every single day and betters our lives, frankly, and makes Florida a great place to live, an accessible place to live. You know, through all of the work that they've done over the years.
So, folks, if you think about it, this historic capital of ours, now, for those uninitiated, that's the building with the red and white awnings.
Can't miss us.
Yeah, have a hard time if you're there at Apalachicola Parkway and Monroe Street. That particular building and your mission then within that structure is much broader than I think most people would recognize. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're doing more than just walking people through a tour, although that's a fun thing to do. You've got an ongoing exhibit in relation to this particular evening, this celebration of 125 years of Florida public health.
Yes, and we really are much more than the building itself. I think that people think that we're just a historic building that's open to the public for event rentals. But we try to offer diverse educational programming that's related to Florida politics more broadly.
And is that mission defined by the legislature? So you're commissioned for this kind of work.
Essentially, in statute, we were created as an institution of political history. And so I think we're really fulfilling that mission in so many ways. Cool. We're a civic education center. You know, we reach young children, older adults, and we try to cover a variety of topics that all relate to political history. It's not just who did this when. It's so much more. It's our connection with the government, how citizens participate in the political process, and just making everyone feel connected to that process, which sometimes can feel a little bit distant. So
okay. And again, this event is this coming Thursday night. It's at 5:30 to 7:30. Is there a cost of admission? Free to the public?
It's free and open to the public, and we have receptions that go along with it as well, so kind of a social thing in addition to educational. And Harry's is catering the food this time. They donated it, sponsored it.
How lovely.
Yes, we are so thankful
for
Harry's.
That.
So, yeah. It'll be a really great evening. And
okay, and that, again, is entitled An Evening with Dr. John Agwunobi, who served the state of Florida as health secretary for many years, walked us through some tumultuous times. And we're going to learn a little bit more that evening then, I guess, from Dr. Agwunobi about the not only the history of, but the role of this public health, now the Surgeon General's office for Florida. And what is that role as you see it now? How is that so significant to us?
Well, they really set the tone for the agency, and they really also, in addition to, you know, setting up some of the standards and practices that are in place, they truly are a leader in response when things like hurricanes and other significant public health issues that happen, and as particularly, you know, this year there have been several disease outbreaks that they've had to respond to, and I think that the public feels secure knowing that there is someone at the helm who is an expert in their field and really has our best interests in mind when making these decisions and policies.
Tiffany Baker, another cool person doing very cool things here in Tallahassee. She's the coordinator of the historical capital right here in Tallahassee. Our lovely guest this morning. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Folks, stay with me. We've got more coming up. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We are back and we have a very lovely guest with us for this last portion of the show. Dr. Carol Probstfield is with us. She is representing the Council of Presidents of the Florida College System. In fact, is the president of that organization. And at the same time, because she gets bored so easily, I guess, she's president of the State College of Florida and our guest this morning. Welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
I appreciate the time, considering this time of year and what it is that is occupying your time mostly. We have this little thing called the legislative session that is upon us. That and the oak pollen are the two clearest signs of spring in Tallahassee. The traffic count tends to go up a bit. And people who look very tired wandering the streets of downtown Tallahassee. I think that would be you.
More of that to come, I think.
I mean, so what brings you to our fair city, my friend?
Well, once a month, the Council of Presidents meet. And during the legislative session, we meet in Tallahassee. So we're up here to talk about the things that are going on legislatively that might impact our institution, about the legislative budget requests that we've made of our delegation to see what might be coming our way in the next year.
Just in case they forgot that you asked, you want to make sure that they are reminded. Now, am I correct? You are the president of this council? Is that true? Or are you a member of the council?
I'm a member of the council. I'm called the policy and advocacy chair.
Ah, okay.
So that is also known as the vice chair, and then next year I'll be the chair.
I see. Okay, so let's be correct about that. So you're currently the vice chair and stuck with this job.
I signed up for 2 years.
You were absent the day they handed this out. But you seem to have a deal of concern for the whole business of representing colleges in Florida. And in the little bit of time that we've gotten to talk here and get to know each other, it's my impression that you are really looking at college kids. I mean, that's really where it's at for you.
Exactly. I'm very passionate about the mission of the Florida College System, and it's really twofold, largely. One is to be responsive to our local communities. So any student who wants to achieve a higher education, we want to make sure those opportunities are available. We also want to make sure we're responsive to the employers in our communities and that we're graduating students who can fill their needs as well.
So those are some of the more instrumental tasks, I mean, what you're about, huh? Mm-hmm. At the same time, you can't do that well or as well as you'd like if you aren't funded well or properly. I don't think I have to ask this question, but how is that going as far as funding is concerned?
Thank you for asking. this year, we're asking for $100 million into our system. And I know a lot of people that would raise the eyebrows, but when you think about it, we represent roughly or approaching about 1 million students. So it's about $100 per student that we're asking the legislature to help us with. We're very passionate about affordability. Our institutions in the Florida College System are the most cost-effective way for students to get at least that first 2 years of their college education, and in some cases, 4 years.
I see.
And that being the case, we want to make sure it remains affordable. But it's a very simple A plus B equals C equation. If A is tuition, and we want to keep that flat, B is state appropriation, and C being our capacity to serve. In order to serve more students and to provide more services, we need the state to be a partner.
And these colleges that you represent as a council, and you are the Council of Presidents of these colleges, right? These are all state colleges. These are all public institutions.
That's correct. Right. There are 28 of us, ranging from Florida Keys, which would be on the smaller end, to Miami-Dade, which would clearly be the largest.
So I think of a guy like Ed Moore, who is president of ICUF,
and ICUF is that Independent Colleges and Universities of Florida. They would be sort of your counterpart, I suppose, or how would you look at ICUF? They're sort of an allied companion in this whole effort of trying to educate our kids.
Absolutely. Huh?
But coming from the private side.
Exactly. Yeah. We're very fortunate in Florida to have a variety of options for students. Yeah. ICUF institutions would be one of those, and state colleges, the universities. So students have a lot of choice. And we all work together very well across this whole landscape of education, whether that's from K-12 through technical colleges, state colleges, universities, public, private. We're all in it for the same reason, and that is to make sure that people have opportunity.
In fact, among those, let's call them legislative items that you're concerned with, funding would be the most prominent, you think? What are some of the other things that are on your list for this year, for this session?
Well, let me go back to funding for one moment, if I may. Another big portion of what we're asking for is performance funding. Oh. And we're completely support the governor's position on performance funding and on affordability. The state college system several years ago was actually the first of the education systems in Florida to embrace performance funding, and indeed part of our funding was based on performance for a period of time, and it did indeed change behavior, and so those outcomes that were being measured improved. So we're really embracing this and looking forward to having the challenge and accountability.
Huh? Yeah, the accountability. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And so in that capacity, what are you looking to make adjustments to how you accommodate that increased concern for performance, or do you feel like, hey, man, we've been doing this for years. Go ahead, bring it on.
Well, bring it
or
on.
Both.
Bring it on. But I think, you know, it's
gonna
a discussion.
Up our game.
It's a discussion. It's been a very collaborative discussion with the Department of Ed and the college presidents to find measures that really are getting toward what we're trying to achieve and what we're trying to do. And I think it will be an evolutionary process. But the point being, you know, we are funded by the taxpayers' dollars, and we want to be responsive and let people know that we're spending their money well and that we're producing an outstanding product, and that product is those students.
I'm fascinated with that whole topic, too, as to how one finds themselves a college president. I've told you, friends, as we're listening to Dr. Probstfield here, she's president of the State College of Florida. And where is that located, by the way?
In Manatee and Sarasota counties on the West Coast.
West Coast. I mean, is this what you wanted to do when you were a little kid?
You know, that's a great question. I ask that question to about every group that I talk to and say, by show of hands, who's doing today what they thought they were doing when they were a kid? And almost nobody says I was. So, no, this was not my ultimate goal. And as a matter of fact, I sort of came about this job in a very unusual way. I was the vice president of business and administrative services for my same institution for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And our president left, and the board conducted a search and went through the typical process and came to the end and decided we think that the person that we're looking for is right here and asked me if I would consider taking on the role.
There's been a bit of discussion, I would say, public discussion lately as to this idea launched recently with Florida State University's search process and folks suggesting that ought to be not within the public view, that the search process ought to be done behind closed doors, we'd say. And that's raised the ire of some folks who find that objectionable. What do you think?
Well, I think that when candidates' names are made public so early on in a process, it may dissuade some from choosing to participate. And I think that we want to have the most robust pool of candidates that we can when we're selecting somebody as important as the president of one of our universities or colleges in Florida.
It kind of made sense to me too in that way, because I'm thinking about let's talk about the corporate world where, you know, you set out to find a CEO for your company. Well, that person who is currently serving in another capacity certainly wouldn't want their current employer to know that they're being considered. Isn't that right? I mean,
I think that is what prevents some people from pursuing those options.
From ever stepping up. Do you think that education in general is in Florida is headed in the right direction? It's a pretty broad question, but are there some things, and if you'd rather think about this before you answer, it's okay, because we're going to take a quick break here, but Think about where we're headed, I guess. And you talked about the things that we end up doing that we never set out to do initially. You think that students are aware of that as they come into their college career?
I think they're becoming more aware of it. I think we're doing a far better job now of reaching out to students when they're younger, middle schools, high schools, so that they know what their options are. So I think from that perspective, we're doing a good job. Are we headed in the right direction was your first question. And I think that it's not a clear path. I think it's kind of, as we were talking about before, that this is an evolving industry, yeah. And we're responsive to the needs of our community, and those needs change. The needs of students change, the needs of employers change, how students learn change, how we're going to educate changes, and so we have to be forever responsive to those changes.
Fascinating. Talking with Carol Probstfield, she's the president of the State College of Florida, and here this week in Tallahassee representing the Council of Presidents of the Florida College System. You are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we are back and we're talking with Carol Probstfield. She is president of the State College of Florida. And then at the same time, because she has nothing else to do with her day, she's representing the Council of Presidents of the Florida College System. And that brings her to our town at this time of year and talking with legislators and others who are concerned about funding for this robust college system that we talk about, those students who are served and those families that are served. A lot of times I think, and I have the pleasure of saying that I'm the father of four college graduates, and if you don't believe me, just ask my loan officer at the bank and various institutions. In fact, my wife and I have become expert at financial aid process. We think that we're going to start an entire online business now, how to get your financial aid.
I mean, it's it would be a lucrative business.
Remarkably frustrating process in some cases. The shifting in education, we could talk about this in a lot of different ways from a lot of different angles, but clearly arguably the last 20 years, maybe the last 10 years, life is not what it was for colleges, certainly not the way it was for students. Educational options abound, not the least of which would be online courses. Gosh, you know, in 6 weeks, I can go out there and be certified for a position in, let's say, the software industry and be pulling down $1,000 a day. Why do I need a college degree? Why do I need a two-year degree? When you look at all of that shifting and change, as a college president, you're up here at 30,000 feet. How do you translate that into the kind of adjustments and sensitivity that you need at ground level?
I think the important thing is to make sure that students have options to continue their education. And wherever they start, whether that's with a certificate or at a technical institute, that those degrees or those credits are transferable. So if they do want to go on throughout their life, they're going to reinvent themselves many times over and over and over again. And today that certificate may get them a job that's paying them well. Tomorrow that may not be a choice job anymore, mm-hmm. and they need to reinvent themselves. And we want to make sure that when they're spending their time earning those certificates or earning those credits, that they can transfer that to an institution and keep moving forward with their education.
I see. Now, in terms of your role here representing this Council of Presidents, how does that notion then translate into manageable or instrumental requirements. Those things that you're putting in front of our legislators and saying, hey, this is what we're trying to do over here. This is why we want to do that. And this is what that means to you. This is what we need you to do for us. So what is that expression?
We have a policy, and we've actually adopted this policy as the Council of Presidents this year, that our real focus is about transferable credit, that students can earn credit and move anywhere within our system, back and forth, up and down, throughout the course of their lives. And so every piece of legislation that might come forward, we'd want to look at it through that lens say, is this getting us there?
Because that's real life.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and
more so.
Whether it's related to the technical institutes and what they might be able to offer, what they might call themselves, or whether it's baccalaureate degrees and where they're offered and how they're offered, the real important part is that students will be able to build upon their education throughout their lives.
And the colleges you represent offer primarily two-year degrees, is that right?
Primarily two-year degrees.
Yeah, so you're used to this. You're used to students coming in. They get an associate degree, and then they transfer out to finish up if they choose to do so.
Exactly.
And they might do that immediately, or they may do that sometime later. And your point is, don't create more friction. Make that an easier transition for them.
Exactly. And
at least don't get in their way.
Florida has the best, what we call 2+2 system, I think, anywhere in the nation.
Really?
That allows students to transfer from our state colleges to our universities seamlessly with all of their credits transferring. Oh. It's the students are very fortunate to have that in place. And we just want to make sure that that stays strong. But also build those same type of relationships with our technical colleges and technical institutes.
There are some things talked about, it seems, in relation to education that have even a bit more controversy associated with them. One of these is the guns on campus idea. Mm-hmm. And I know that this has got to be a topic that is hot for you, I guess I'd say, or certainly not outside of your purview. So what do you think? What's the dividing line here on that topic?
Well, I like to keep things simple. And to me, we have the most important thing that we can focus on is that our students, our faculty, and our staff are safe. Huh. We want to do whatever it takes to make sure they're safe. Huh. The Council of Presidents took a vote at our last meeting last month and decided to come out against this particular bill, as did our partners at the university as well. Huh. And, we just want to focus on what's safe. And we're just not sure at this point that more guns equals more safety.
What does the future look like from your vantage point?
Well, I'm encouraged. I am very encouraged. I think sometimes the stories that we hear about college kids and behavior is always the bad news, and we don't get to hear about the good news. I'd like to tell you, if I may, a moment about some good news.
Please do.
The State College of Florida's Brain Bowl team won the national championship.
Woohoo!
But let me tell you about the composition of that team. One of those students is a high school dropout who got his GED, was working in a restaurant, and somebody convinced him he needed to come back to college. One of those students started college right out of high school. Wasn't for him. He left, went to work, decided later in life that he needed to come back to college. Two of the students on that team are what's called dual enrolled. They're in high school and college at the same time. So technically they're high school seniors, but they're getting their AA degree at the same time. One of them is an Amish gentleman who's homeschooled, who decided to come to college, and he's our science expert on the team. And one out of those six is a traditional college student. But that's the complexion of the student who comes to the Florida college system. And I just think it's phenomenal that all those different characters came together and won a national championship.
Remarkable. And I do agree. I think that does give us a good picture of the way in which college life, right, and college students are quite different than at least those days that I recall from my college days, which is several years back. Doctor, it is a pleasure to have you here with us. Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you. I've enjoyed our conversation.
Our good friend, Dr. Carol Probstfield, representing the Council of Presidents of the Florida College System and president of the State College of Florida, our guest this morning.
Well, folks, I'll tell you, the time has flown by, so we are going to have to wrap it up here. Thanks for being with us again this morning. We'll be back next Saturday at 9 o'clock right here at 93.3 FM, our home station in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny is the production of Alcom Marketing and Advertising. Our executive producer, Carl Cerny, associate producer, Kayla Ferland, and our director of guest relations is Mindy Clark. I'm Brian Cerny, inviting you to come back, be with me again next Saturday morning. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far.
Hi, I'm Joe Doty. Come truck it up with me this week, and I'll save you money. Get your deluxe detail package, complete window tinting, and heavy-duty floor mats starting at $339.95.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far.
You'll save big bucks on the package, and I'll even throw in a great pair of free sunglasses. Come on, truck it up with us this weekend, and bring your cars too. You're gonna love it.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop, we always aim to please. Truck and Car Concepts, everything.